Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? Let's wake up. Are you glad you're going to heaven? I tell you what great music this morning. It is good, wasn't it? I tell you, we are very, very blessed. This morning's message is on compromise, something that we all do on a daily basis. You know, I heard the other day, a guy told me, he said, you know, what the perfect marriage is. And I said, well, man, I need to know that right now. What is it? He said, that's where one of the couples is right all the time. I thought, man, that is, ooh, yeah. He said, and the other one's the husband. I don't know if I agree with that, but, hey, that's the way it starts out this morning. You know, we compromise on a lot of stuff. We go to restaurants, you know. Wife says, you know, what do you want? What do you want to eat? Well, you know, do you want Mexican or do you want to get a steak? Or do you want Italian? What is it? Fish? Seafood? And, you know, you go back and forth. Well, I don't want that. And then finally you compromise what you probably really do want for the sake of the other. You know, for the sake of your marriage a lot of times. You know, it's like when you go and get a new truck or go buy a used truck, you compromise on what you, after you get there, you think, I'm only going to pay this much, by cracky. I'm not going to pay a penny more. And you get over there and you get to look at it and you go, man, I really like that truck. I think I'd be willing to pay just a little bit more just to have that truck. And have everybody see me driving in it. I think I'll pay the price for it. That's compromise. And we do it all the time. A healthy compromise is when we're able to give in without sacrificing our values or our beliefs. As Christians, that's a tough thing to do. It's a tough nut to crack, I can guarantee you. Every relationship we enter into has some sort of give and take to it. If you're here this morning and you're in a relationship with someone, you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a day, it happens probably 100 times a day. You want to do something, she wants to do something else, or she wants to do something and you want to do something else, and then you have to sit there and talk about it, and you give and take. Until both of you are satisfied, hopefully, both of you are satisfied, and there's not a train wreck. How about our beliefs as Christians, our beliefs in God, what He expects out of me and what He expects out of you? Do we compromise God's Word and something He tells us to do? When we do compromise God's Word, we're heading down a dark path. When His is just black and white, and we go, you know, there's got to be some gray in there somewhere that I can fit it into my life. I want to start off by looking at King Solomon. In the Bible, King Solomon was the richest king in the world. He had everything you can imagine. He had more money than any king ever in the Bible, anywhere. He had more land than anyone should be able to possess. He had it all. Riches, fame, and people came from all over the world just to hear him talk and to hear his wisdom that God had planted in his heart. Yet this great king deliberately disobeyed God. He compromised. In Deuteronomy 7:3, it says this: you must not intermarry with them. It says, do not let your daughters or your sons marry their sons and daughters. This was a command. They had just taking over this country, and God was telling him, I don't want any of you to marry any of the women. I don't want any of your guys to marry them. I don't want any of your women to marry the men. keep it separate. Because these folks from this country are idolaters. They do not believe in me. They do not serve me. They worship idols. So what does Solomon do? He compromises. He goes out and gets 700 wives. Some people wouldn't call that a compromise. Guys, how would you like to have 700 women that you had to try to please? Wives, how would you like to have 700 husbands to please? This guy must have been, they said he was so wise, but gee whiz, 700. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He took 300. And during this time, over a little bit at a time, these women chipped away at what Solomon believed. He compromised a little bit at a time. It didn't happen overnight. It took several years. But finally, they turned his heart away from God. Solomon did not listen to God at all. No man on this earth soared higher than Solomon and fell so low. It all started with one thing, a single thought, one idea that one of his wives put in there. You don't really have to serve just one God. There's a whole bunch of them out there. The sun, the moon, the stars. Oh, man, there's all kinds of folks that you can rely on besides just God. He thought for sure that he could compromise with God's word. And it turned into a great tragedy. Compromise is no more or less than disobedience to God when we're talking about his word. Why would a man like Solomon, who had everything that you could possibly want, that you could even imagine that you might want, why would a man jeopardize all that for compromise? You know, as Christians here in this world, a lot of folks say you have to compromise to live in this world today because there's just so many things going on. You just can't live a Christian life. So let's look at what are we willing to compromise? Our honesty. Oh, well, we can probably give up a little of that. Our purity. Yeah, we can sure give some of that up. Our integrity. Why not? Just a little bit. Just a little bit here, just a little bit there. Not a whole lot. Not enough to really make a difference. No one's really going to see it. No one really knows about it but me, you know. What I'm willing to give up. Satan in this world says no one's perfect. Come on. You can't live in this world today unless you're willing to give up something. I'm reminded, though, in the Scripture that Satan is the father of all lies. He twists the very truth, God's truth, just so that his purpose can be fulfilled. I've talked about this for the last few weeks about our country. What is ethical in our country anymore? Ethics has been thrown out the window. And everything is fair. So the question that God asks this morning, what part of yourself, your family, are you willing to give up to be a part of this great nation? There was some men in Houston, we prayed about this just a few weeks ago. There was a mayor in Houston that attacked men because they stood up for something that they believed in. And she demanded, subpoenaed through the court system, all their sermons. And I said, guys, if you remember, I said, look what's happening. It's happening now. This is something we really need to pay attention and we need to be praying because times are really changing. America rose up, not just here in Texas, not just in Houston, but all over the United States. There was an outcry. I don't know if you've heard, but she dropped the suit. Man, praise the Lord. I tell you what, that is a big one. God got victory over that. But that's just the start of what we're talking about. I ask myself every day what I'm willing to give up as a Christian. What am I willing to give up? What am I willing to compromise on? And how will it affect the rest of my life? The decisions that we make today affect tomorrow. They affect the rest of our lives. We think it's just a little thing. It's just a little thing that I'm talking about. And no one's really going to know about it except God. I guess this is why I believe that we should know what we actually do believe as Christians. We should read our Bibles. We should know what we believe. We should know what we should believe. A lot of times we say, oh, well, I didn't know that. Was that in the Bible? What's that old saying? Ignorance is no excuse because it's there. It's written down for us, and all we have to do is read it. To know what the Scriptures say. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's never too late to change something that needs to be changed in our life. It's never too late. It's never too late for a second chance. It's never too late to stop doing what is wrong and to start doing what is right. And to keep doing what we're doing that's right, keep doing it and don't stop doing it. In 2 Corinthians 13, 7 through 9, it says this. This is the apostles talking to a group of Christians. They had come and visited with them, and they said, we pray to God that you will not do what is wrong by refusing our correction. I hope we won't need to demonstrate our authority when we arrive. Do the right thing before we come, even if it makes it look like we have failed to demonstrate our authority, for we cannot oppose the truth, but must always stand for the truth. How do we go about getting back to doing what's right in God's eyes? One of the ways is we find out what the Scripture says and we just start doing it. We make a commitment to change. No longer should we compromise when it comes to God's Word. No longer should we compromise our family. No longer should we compromise with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We should always treat each other like we are the closest, the very closest of families, of brothers and sisters. Taking care of each other, praying for each other, lifting each other up. Never letting one fall. If we see one fall, by cracky, it ought to just about knock down each other, trying to get to them to help them up. That's what we're talking about. The Scripture says that we all need a good, healthy dose of God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's compassion. We may be already doing it. We may not. Because I'm not your judge. I don't know what's going on in your life except for what you've told me. You don't know what's going on in my life except what I've told you. So I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm not here to point the finger at anybody. If I'm pointing the finger at you, I've still got four that's pointing back at me. Because I'm the chief of all sinners. I sin every day. And God, but God is my judge. It's never too late to stop doing what's wrong. It's never too late to start doing what's right. According to what? According to me? Heaven forbid that it would be according to me, but according to this, God's Word. Let's pray, y'all. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. Again, thanking you for this beautiful day. Oh my gosh, Lord, this is cool weather. It's just refreshing to us. Makes us just want to get out and do something. I pray, Father, that the message that you've given this morning would open our eyes to something as we pray, Lord, that we need to get right with you. You and I have already had that time together this morning and last night and yesterday and all the week. This past week, Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just come and let us know what it is that we need to change in our life, Father, to make us a better person, to make us more loving in your eyes, to make us be more like you in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're visiting Common Ground, we want to say welcome. We're glad to have you here this morning. It's a loving congregation. If you're looking for a church home, I tell you what, there is not a better place to bring your family than right here at Common Ground. We're glad to have you. If you have a prayer request, we want to hear about it. You can put it back there. There's a green sheet back there. You can put your prayer request on it. We're going to work on getting a deal that where you can put confidential stuff in, and no one else will know about what it is except for me. If you have one of those type of prayer requests that you want me to pray for you, or you want the elders, you can put on there you want the elders and me to pray for you, or just the elders. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, and even if you don't want to say what it is, if you would just put down there an unspoken request, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit, as we pray for you, will tell God what it is that needs to be answered, what prayer needs to be answered. And we just want to make that available to you. And if you're visiting, put your name back on the slip back there and drop it in the can. And we don't pass a hat around here for money coming to the Lord for tithes and offerings. That's between you and God, but there's that milk can back there is what we use to put our tithes and offerings in. And God will bless anything you decide to do in that area. We have kids to come down this morning? I don't know. If we do, the kids are going to be coming down, and they're not going to be singing. But we just want to thank y'all for being here, and I hope you have a great day. And let's be sure and stay for the potluck. I'm going to go ahead and lead us in prayer and pray over the food this morning. Okay, no kids are coming down. Let's remove your hats, guys.